Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Every Nation online service. My name's Shino. I'm one of the pastors here. We're going to continue in our sermon series called Living It. And what happened is on the day of Pentecost, the power of God was poured out. The Holy Spirit fell upon the believers. And they went out and they began to witness. They began to demonstrate what it means to have a Christ-like faith and have a Christ-like walk. And so as you've gone through this journey with us over the last several weeks, you've seen God do some extraordinary things through people like Peter and people like Paul. And today we're going to continue on with Paul, because Paul now is coming up on his third journey, missionary journey, if you will. He's taking a couple laps around the block. He's coming around to strengthen the churches. And now he's getting ready to minister the word of God here in Ephesus. And along the way, he's coming up on some disciples. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now for the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you called us to be a witness. And Lord, I pray here in 2021, as we're closing out the back end of the summer, that people would step out in faith and say, Lord, use me like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. And so here it is. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Acts 19. We'll be in verses 1 through 12. And it says this: while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived in Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Verse 7, there were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them were obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions in the lecture hall in Tyrannus. Verse 10, this went on for 2 years, so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and the illness were cured, and the evil spirits left them. Here it is, Paul doing Paul type things. And what I love about Paul is Paul was one to go in and to encounter and to engage people. Paul reminds us a lot of what Jesus did prior to the book of Acts, if you will. See, Jesus was the master of engaging people. He was the master of asking questions, starting conversations. He was the master of listening. And he was also a master of calling people into their destiny and into their purpose. And here we're getting ready to see Paul do something which we call checking the foundations. You know, it's important to understand how we build, because how we build determines how far we go in Christ. And so Paul right here is getting ready to encounter some disciples along the way. And I could imagine maybe the conversation started off with, "Hey, how are you doing?" or "Where are you guys from?" And my first point is this, is that we have to be able to start a conversation. And our conversations must be genuine, must be authentic. It must be an opportunity to engage people in such a way that they see that you really care. And so Colossians 4:6 says this: let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Full of grace and seasoned with salt. It's important that when we encounter people, that we encounter them graciously. We don't come in with the Bible ready to thump them over the head with it. We don't engage people trying to condemn or correct, but we come in full of grace, full of mercy, genuinely, authentically asking questions, starting a conversation that may be important. And so here it is. He starts this conversation with these men. And the second thing is he began to ask questions. He asked them this: did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And their answer was, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. And what this did is it gave Paul an opportunity now to begin to go deep and unearth the bad foundation and begin to lay the good foundation. And so it's very important for us to understand we have to ask questions. You know, I've bumped into people before and I've asked them, and you know, hey, tell me a little bit about your upbringing, or tell me a little bit about how you became a Christian, or how you found this church, or all types of questions. And you know, it's funny, so many people sometimes avoid the question that's been answered or asked. And so here it was, you know, when did you become a Christian? Oh, well, you know, man, my mom was a deaconess in the church. I didn't ask that. I asked, when did you become a Christian? You know, oh, well, you know, I grew up in the church. That's great. Going to church is good. But when did you become a Christian? And, you know, as you begin to ask questions, you begin to know exactly where that man or that woman stands. And so the Bible says this in Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so there needs to be a confession of who Jesus is. And these disciples knew of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus. See, they were followers of John the Baptist. And we know that John the Baptist was the one pointing the way of the one who was to come, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior. And so they were still caught in that. They didn't even know that he had came and left. And so here they are getting ready to encounter this message that Paul is getting ready to preach to them and begin to explain to them what sin is and what salvation is. He's getting ready to explain to them that, yes, you need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that that God raised him from the dead. And it says that you'll be saved. And so he had to take him to the very basics. And it's very important that we don't miss steps, because Jesus is the chief cornerstone of this whole thing. So if we don't get it right with him, we're going to be in trouble. It's going to be hard for you to build. And so it says this in Ephesians 1:13, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And you know what's amazing is that when we ask Jesus to come live inside of our heart, he actually does it if we mean business. And here these men, not knowing that, man, if I ask Jesus to come inside of my heart, that this Holy Spirit that you're talking about is going to come and live inside of me and help me live the Christian life. Absolutely. And so this is what I see Paul doing. Not only is he starting a conversation, not is he asking questions, but he's also now beginning to make disciples. Now, they were followers of John the Baptist, but now it's time for them to be followers of Jesus Christ. And it says here in Matthew 28, 18 and 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He began right there. He didn't wait. He began to make disciples right there. And what I want to say to us out there today is, don't wait. Don't say, well, I got to get this together. I got to get this together before I start making disciples. You know, for me, my pastor who led me to the Lord, it was immediate. He began to immediately not only make a disciple, but he began to train me and to teach me on some things. He began to encourage me. You know, you need to come to a Bible study. You need to come to a prayer meeting. You need to come and participate in the life of the body of the church. You need to do some things. And so as I began to take these steps, you know, there was never any why. It was just like, okay, if this is what it means to be a follower of Christ. And what I love is he always pointed me back to Jesus. He never pulled me to self. He always pointed me back to Jesus. And these disciples now are understanding is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And what marked them is it says that they were baptized, that Paul baptized them. And that baptism was amazing, because now it's confirming, man, we're followers of Jesus. You know, some religions, it's okay to believe in Jesus, but it's another level when you become baptized in him. And when you become baptized in him, it now makes a declaration that I identify with his life, and who he is who I want to become. And, you know, I'm a follower of him. And that's where the rubber meets the road, is that now he becomes the Lord of my life as well as the Lord of the universe. And Lord means master. Lord means boss. And now he's calling the shots. The third thing I want to say is this, is that Paul was a great listener. See, as they began to explain things, we don't even know who this Holy Spirit is. We don't even know anything other than that. We're followers of John the Baptist. There, the light bulb went off and he began to explain some things. And it's important for you and I to be great listeners. And we can't just be any kind of listeners. There's a word in the Bible called hearken. We have to listen with the intent on doing. So if I'm listening to somebody, bear their soul, and you have to be able to listen. So many people want to just get straight to stuff. They bypass things. They're not empathetic. They're not sympathetic. They don't care. They just want to make that person born again, if you will. If they want to make that person follow Jesus. And, you know, it's time for us to be good listeners. Right now, people need an ear to bend, if you will. They need people that they can come and genuinely dump things that are going on in their life in a safe place. Are you out there a good listener? Will you slow down the ways of the world, the busyness of life, and engage people? Start that conversation and begin to listen. Because people need people right now who listen to true, genuine hurt and pain, because people are confused and they need to know that Jesus is the answer. People are hurting and they know that Jesus is the chief physician. People are needing of community and they need to understand that, man, true, genuine, authentic community, that koinonia is in Jesus and with his body, his people. And so we have to be good listeners. You know, man, I'm going to make a funny joke right now, but you know how it is. You're sitting there in the living room and your spouse is trying to, you know, talk to you. And you're kind of like, well, you know, I'm listening to you, but I got ESPN on, dun-dun-dun, dun-dun-dun, you know, and she's talking, but the game's on or this thing's happening. And I'm watching this, but I'm looking at her, but I'm listening to this. And how many of you know they're going to come back and ask you, what did I say? What did I say? And then what do we do? Oh, well, you know, I think you said it. No. And that's what people will say. They'll come back and say, you know, what did I say? And you and I have to be able to communicate back. I heard you say that your marriage was falling apart. I heard you say that your child had walked away from the faith. I heard you say that your job was, you lost your job. I heard you say that, man, you got just kicked out of your apartment because you couldn't pay rent. I heard you say, man, that, you know, you're not doing too well, that you got a bad report from the doctor. I heard you say. And what happens is when you're a great listener, that gives you the ability now to tell your side, tell your story. And so the Bible says this in Luke 10:16, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. But whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So the one thing we have to stop being afraid of is that when it's our turn to tell, that it's not on us, but it's on the promises of God. See, it's the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John 16:8, that it is the Holy Spirit that brings conviction. And so as I'm ministering, as I'm speaking, as I'm telling my story, as I'm telling people my life and where I've come from and where you've come from, now people are going to genuinely begin to lean in because you listen to them. We have to be great listeners. We have to be great listeners in this hour, and we have to be great storytellers in this hour. And we don't have to give all the details, but we just need to give enough that will people say, man, if God could do that for you, he can do it for me. Paul, in this situation, not only did he baptize them, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God. They begin to prophesy, begin to speak in tongues. You know, people get hung up on that. Oh, tongues, tongues, tongues. You know, it's not about tongues. It's about the power. Remember, at the very beginning of this, we talked about the power to be a witness. Yes, they spoke in tongues when the Holy Spirit fell, but they also became powerful and began to witness. And so here it is. Paul takes these men with him. And what I love Paul's doing is Paul is now taking them on the job training. It says that they go into the synagogue and Paul begins to preach the word and begins to minister. And those 12 are right there listening and watching. It's not just important to tell your story, but it's important to take people along on the journey. When I got saved, when I gave my life to Jesus, the pastor started inviting me out. Come and share your testimony. come and watch and see what I do. And I would go and just watch and I'd be like, wow, it got to see some things that I normally wouldn't have gotten to see. I got to participate in things. So if opportunities present themselves and somebody is bringing you in to the environment of faith, the environment to hear the gospel, please go. Because your story could be the story that sets somebody free that's out there that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your story could be the one that turns the tide in someone's life. Yeah, I didn't believe that, but I heard you say something, and now I want to give my life to Jesus because of what he did for you. You know, I was on college campuses several years ago. I'd go around standing up in courtyards and, you know, unfortunately probably doing a little bit of yelling. And I remember bringing students up along with me, allowed them to get up there and share their testimony, what God had done in their life. We're talking freshmen and sophomores and juniors and on all universities. And they would get up there and they just begin to say, man, I used to do this, 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 and this, and I was living like this. But all of a sudden, God got a hold of me. He changed my life. And now I'm doing this for Jesus. I'm living this way for Jesus. I understand that I have a destiny and a purpose. And, you know, when I would speak, they would all be like heckling me and throwing stuff at me and boo, get out of here. But when they spoke, the students, their colleagues, their friends, the people that they saw go in and out of the dorms and out of the cafeteria and onto the sports fields, when they spoke, they were like, man, Jesus must be real because I know how you used to be and what you used to do. And if you're saying that God did that for you, man, I need him to do the same for me. You have to be able to tell, but also we have to be able to bring people in. We got to take them and bring them and participate in this. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 2:2, and these things that you have heard me say among many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be qualified to teach others as well. See, Paul not only was up there ministering to people that didn't know God, but he was also demonstrating and showing these men, this is what you need to do, and this is how you need to do it. And you know, also, it says that Paul was preaching in such a way, in such a manner, that the power of God was moving through him, that he could take aprons and handkerchiefs and put it on his body, and they would take that and put that on sick people, and they'd be healed. You know, there's something about seeing the power of God in person. It marks your life. When you see a person get healed, when you see a person get set free, when you see a person get delivered, it does something. It causes you and I to become more bold. It lets you realize that God is with you, that God is for you, that when you step up and you speak and you share the gospel, that man, something supernatural will take place because he said, lo, I'm with you to the end of the ages. I'm right there. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 4:20, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but a power. And those men got to see the power of God demonstrated through the man by the name of Paul. It all the way went back to Paul starting a conversation, him asking questions, him listening, and then him telling, but also taking. And so in this season, I want to encourage us. We have to engage people. We have to get out there. Man, so much is going on in society right now. People need the gospel. They need Jesus. Nothing can help them right now but God. And you and I have that answer. And so maybe on the side of that screen, you're saying, Pastor, the word that you're preaching is the gospel that I need to hear. I need this Jesus whom you're talking about today. That I'm through running around aimlessly saying, hey, you know, I think I'm a Christian. You know, I went to this church, or I went on a mission trip when I was 15. And, you know, I did all these things, but I really don't have a relationship with the Lord. Then I would ask you today to make it right. Do what these men did. Oh, yeah, I was following John, but now I need to follow Jesus. Oh, I thought I was doing right. And yes, I was in a way was, but good ain't gonna, it's not enough. I need to come all the way in. And I see and hear God calling you in, all the way in, all the way in a relationship with Him. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, God, for this word, checking foundations, going back to the very beginning in Jesus. Lord, I pray today, God, of people on the other side of the screen don't know you. I pray today, God, that they would do what these men did, would drop everything and say, man, I need to know more about this Holy Spirit. I need to know about this Jesus. I need to know about this God. Please tell me. That's you. I just want you to pray this simple prayer. Just say, Father, in Jesus' name, today, I want to know you more. I'm through playing games. I'm through running around saying I did this and I did that. But no, I want to know you for me. I want that relationship. I repent. I turn away from what your word says sin is sin. And I choose to put my hope and trust in Jesus Christ. I confess today that He is Lord. The Lord of the universe, but also now I want to make Him the Lord of my life. I also believe that He did die on the cross, but God, you raised Him from the dead, and today I'm asking Him by His Spirit to come live inside of me, to take His proper place as Lord and Savior in my life. I'm making that declaration today. Not only am I going to confess Jesus as Lord, not only am I asking Him to save me, but I'm also finding out where this church is because I need to connect with people. Just like these men were connected with Paul, I need to connect with other people as well, people of faith, believers. And so, Father, I thank you for that today. I give you praise for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, please go to the number on the screen and just text pray and somebody will reach out to you. But thank you so much for having joining us. Thank you for this time getting in the word. And please don't hesitate to text and engage and join. Be blessed.
You've been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.